What up, Jazz Nation? I don't need to ask how you're doing, because if you're anything like me, you are still buzzing about last night. And I'm here to talk about it. I, of course, am Brian Gonzalez, Utah Jazz super fan, and you are listening to All That Jazz, the podcast made by the fans for the fans. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to jump over to iTunes and subscribe, or any podcatcher that you use. But let's get all that out of the way. I'm still buzzing about last night, and if you are anything like me, you are too, as the Jazz close out the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio, 106-91, and a mammoth performance from really the entire team. And we need to get into all of that. It's incredible how fast things turn around in the NBA. It is a complete 180 from the team we saw just get trounced by the LA Clippers on Sunday, which I was going to do a podcast about that one, but I just never really got the time. I apologize. I'm trying something new. I'm actually in my car driving to work right now, and I'm on my phone. So we'll see how this works. I don't know if it's going to sound great. I've got one of those, not a Bluetooth mic, but one you plug into the earphone jack. So, you know, we'll see how it sounds. But anyway, let's get to the game. The Jazz looked awesome. They gave you a glimpse of just how special this group could be. And it was all led by really the entire team. I credit the coaches. I think, honestly, I could see a lot more energy out of the team for a consistent four quarters, which is, we haven't seen the Jazz play four quarters of great basketball in probably 2 or 3 years. Because I don't remember a game really last year where they put a full three quarters together, or four quarters, I'm sorry. And it was so incredible to watch. They went at San Antonio. I mean, right at them. And the entire game, you could tell that just the energy and effort level and the length of the Utah Jazz on the defensive end really took San Antonio out of their game. Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge had a really good game, but those are, I mean, honestly, those are shots you deal with. San Antonio kills you by the ball movement and eventually ending up in an open three. And the Jazz actually gave San Antonio a piece of their own medicine, because that's exactly what they did to the Spurs. They moved the ball beautifully, absolutely beautifully. And every single person was pulling the trigger. And it's something that I think Jazz fans and the coaching staff, to be honest, has been waiting for a very, very, very long time. I mean, the ball would not stick in one person's hands. As soon as someone would drive and kick it out, that ball just whipped around the key and it found the open man. And then that open man in games past, especially this year, has been hesitating to shoot. And not against the Spurs. Not last night. Anybody who was open was pulling the trigger, and it was amazing. It was so beautiful. Joe Ingles chips in with a few. Joe Johnson chips in with a few, and a big one in the fourth quarter, because that's just what he does. And then Shelvin Mack. Oh, man. Shelvin Mack off the bench last night was absolute dynamite. I mean, that guy, as soon as he came on the floor, which is something the Jazz have needed for the first three games, because nobody off the bench has really brought energy off the bench this year. And Shelvin Mack last night brought that in spades. I mean, he went nuts. As soon as he came on the floor, he was just pedal to the metal. I'm getting to the rim. I'm getting whatever shot I need to do, or I'm going to set up somebody. I'm going to move the ball. He was fantastic last night, and I honestly think was one of the X factors in the ending result of the game. Because when someone comes off the bench like that, I mean, look at the Spurs. They have someone like a Patty Mills who comes off the bench and does exactly what Shelvin did last night. But he's not afraid to shoot, and he gets that bench going scoring-wise. So is Shelvin going to be that guy this year? I mean, he showed an arsenal of moves and aggressiveness that was absolutely fantastic. He was getting to the rim. He was using that little one-handed scoop shot layup that nobody could really handle. He was getting into the key and giving you floaters. He was giving you three-point shots. And he was fantastic last night. And the Jazz shot the ball incredibly well. Again, just a polar opposite to Sunday's game in LA, where they just did not shoot the ball well at all. And so Sunday's game, I honestly thought was an outlier anyway, but I think they proved it last night with how well they played. And holy smokes. And MVP of the night for me, got to be George Hill. How good has George Hill been all season? As my alarm goes off, it's telling me I gotta clock in. He has been the rock that has held the ship stable for the entire team this year. And it's been fantastic to watch. He's been by far, I mean, obviously minus Kevin Durant, he's been by far the most important pickup in the NBA this year and has been the biggest move the Jazz have made since the Deron Williams trade. He's been so good. And we honestly, I don't know how surprised we should be, because he did the exact same thing in Indiana when Paul George was hurt. He carried that team pretty much. I can't remember. Did they make the playoffs that year, or did they just missed the playoffs? I want to say they just missed the 8 seed, but George Hill carried them the entire year and played very, very well. Now, the surrounding cast in Utah is much better than what the Pacers had that year, so he's leading them some wins, and obviously a win in San Antonio, his former team, where you could tell he really wanted it. But late in the fourth quarter, George Hill absolutely took over. We have not seen that in so long, especially from the point guard position. But I honestly think that's something that Gordon Hayward could look at and really learn from, to where George Hill just, at a point, I believe scored 10 straight points for the Jazz and was just outstanding. He torched the Spurs, absolutely torched the Spurs. And it's not like these were heat check kind of shots. They were really good looks. So I can't say enough good things about George Hill. He was absolutely dynamite last night. And honestly, so was Rodney Hood. He really played the game, I think, under control. He shot the ball very, very well, which is good news for him. We know he can be kind of a streak shooter. So it was good to really see him play well and shoot the ball well. Let's hope he can stay relatively consistent this year. So far, I think he's played real well. He played great against Portland, played all right against the Lakers, and then really did not play well against the Clippers. But if he can find some middle ground and really learn to be consistent, I can really see a concerted effort on his part to get to the rim and try and get to the foul line. He's going to the rim a lot harder than he did last year, and that's a great, great thing. So I think Rodney's starting to figure out what he needs to do. And he played great last night also. I mean, hit some really big shots, some tough threes. But he was just dialed in last night, and it was fantastic. Rudy gave you what Rudy gives you. He got 6 points, 12 rebounds, and was mega defensively. Derek Favors only played 15 minutes, did not play in the second half. I wonder if they were resting him, because we have a back-to-back tonight against Dallas. They're home, so I hope Jazz Nation shows up for that. I need to stop saying so much, I'm sorry. But I thought he played well for the 15 minutes he gave you in the first half, and looked a lot better than he did against the Clippers. Looked a lot more spry. Nailed some mid-range jump shots, which you love to see. And then I think the last person I really want to talk about is Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles, we all know, is special. He's incredibly gifted. He looks a bit unsure of himself right now, which is weird. I don't know what the coaching staff is telling him. He just, out on the floor, he doesn't look like he knows or is unsure of what he wants to do. But even when he's making shots, unless he's catching and shooting, he's looking very, very unsure. You know, do I want to drive to the rim? Do I need to make a pass? I just feel like we need a breakthrough point for Trey, to where he's just playing instinctively and not thinking about it. Because he looks like he's thinking about it. I think he's trying to make the right play. I think he's trying to do all the right things. And we're going to reach a point this year where he just starts playing and not thinking about it, just like we saw in Summer League. I wish he would be as aggressive and sure of himself as he was in Summer League. If he can reach that point, then the Jazz are going to be so difficult to deal with no matter what lineup we have out there. And you saw Trey out there close out the game. And I thought, you know, he had a spurt there where he missed a bunch of shots, but the Jazz kept looking for him and he kept shooting, which is what you need a player to do when he's in a slump like that, especially a young player. You need him to keep on shooting. And that's what he continued to do. And he banged down some big shots. You know, the Spurs almost made a point. Hey, Trey Lyles is not making some shots. Let's make him beat us. And well, he stepped up to the plate and made some big shots for us. Oh man, the Jazz played so well last night. Kudos to the coaching staff and kudos to the players for really stepping up and bringing their A game against a team that a lot of people in the nation, I mean, hell, including myself, thought the Spurs looked, you know, fantastic, and they were reminding you how good they are. And then the Jazz show up and just throw a knockout punch, and it was a fight because the Spurs fought back from the 10-point deficit. And then there was a time when you're like, oh, here we go. Close game. Jazz are going to let this one go. And it was the exact opposite. Jazz made all the big plays late. They made all the shots late. And it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. Game tonight at the Delta Center. 7 o'clock tip against the Dallas Mavericks, who I believe haven't won a game yet. But it's a back end of a back-to-back. This is a game the Jazz really need to win. Jazz Nation, I hope you show up, get loud tonight, give the guys some energy. I hope we see the same team we saw last night and not the team we saw Sunday night. I don't want to have that Jekyll and Hyde kind of team. I think this team could be so fantastic. They showed you that last night. I think that's all I wanted to talk about today. It's quick. I'm sorry there's no production. I hope it sounds all right because, again, I'm on my phone. And please remember to subscribe on iTunes or any podcatcher. And if you want to let me know what you think, you can email me, BrianGonzalez21@gmail.com. Or you can check us out on Facebook. That would be a fantastic way to get a hold of us. It's facebook.com/allthatjazzutah. Thanks again so much for listening. My name is Brian Gonzalez. I will catch you next time. Have a great day. P.S. There's something I forgot. I can't believe I forgot to talk about this. I'm sorry. Despite Kawhi Leonard having an absolutely ridiculous game where the Jazz could not stop him, the Jazz could not handle Kawhi Leonard, the Jazz still come on top, which is outstanding. The other guy I wanted to talk about, and I'm so sorry, this is a new kind of format. I was in my car, I was driving. Dante Exum has been so good at times this year. And there was a moment last night where he got beat a couple times, he got called for a couple fouls, and then all of a sudden he got an attitude and he got upset. And you could see he was upset, and he used that to get really, really aggressive. Because on a play, I think it was a Manu Ginobili flop. I hate watching Manu Ginobili play. But Dante got, you could tell he was pissed, and he gets the ball out of bounds and just takes off the entire length of the court, beats a couple of guys baseline, and finds Jeff Withey who gets fouled. That's the Dante we need to show up all the time. If Dante can find a way to have that switch on all the time, like, there's no need to turn into that, you know, that 21-year-old kid who's just, you know, out there playing an NBA game. He needs to turn into that really pissed off guy and have just that mega aggressiveness. Because when he gets aggressive, there's a few moves in the game, and we've seen him more throughout the year. That's why I'm getting really, really excited about Dante. He's not as afraid to shoot. He's going to the rim a lot harder. He's seeing opportunities, and he's starting to go at big guys on a switch, which is something not just me, but I'm sure the coaching staff and just the rest of Jazz Nation has been screaming for. Like, when you get a big man switched on you, Dante, just blow by him, go to the rim. And he's starting to do that. He's starting to really develop this in-and-out move that is freezing people, absolutely freezing people in their tracks, and then he's blowing by them for layups. So what we're seeing out of Dante, I'm very, very excited for. Yeah, that was a PS. I wanted to throw that in at the very end of the podcast. Sorry I missed that before. Again, it's kind of hard to do while you're driving. But, hey, it might be a new way I can do it and get more podcasts out. So Again, I hope you have a great day. I will see you tonight, Jazz Nation. And let's show out for them. All right? We'll catch you later. Have a great day.